How many of you have been involved in a project that you thought, man, I don't have the energy or the wisdom to finish? Why did I ever start? Right? And then just when you're about to quit, someone came along who encouraged you by some piece of advice, or better yet, like Eric, came up to help out our boys. They physically came alongside of you and gave you that strength that you needed to overpower, to overcome, to be greater than anything that might come against you. You know, we find strength in numbers and wisdom from a collective mindset. Yesterday, I've got to have the rest of the church applaud our church board, because they came together yesterday with a plan to paint the classroom at Noble Hall and the kitchen. And though we started off and we kind of stumbled around each other, and we got the project done. And that's your church board's dedication to what they're doing here for the Lord. And we thank you for them. You know, sadly, we're at the end of the One Cry sermon series and our book that we've been going over. But hopefully we desire to meet together and pray for our nation, that we continue to do that. That work has not ended, but has just begun. You know, Samuel Chadwick once said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, or prayerless religion. He laughs at our busy lives. He mocks our wisdom. But Satan trembles when we pray. But Satan trembles when we pray." You know, in many congregations, prayer ministry is handed off to a few prayer warriors, and leadership feels like they've handled the situation. What a far cry from the leaders of that first church in Jerusalem. Those leaders handed off other issues so that they could give themselves to prayer. We don't seem to have that model in American churches today. Instead, we want the pastor to be all about doing everything and to be involved in knowing all that's going on. You know, one of the things that I just really appreciate about God's timing is how God brought Pastor John Brent to Mountain Valley Church at just the right time. There have been so many things going on with the people of our church, health-wise. And to do that, to do the study, to do all the things that ministry calls for, I could not have had a better brother to stand up alongside of me and to do that work, to take that part. I was empowered by the Holy Spirit to not just go and be with Faye Lawrence as she faced a very difficult heart surgery this week. She had a heart oblation done, which what all that means, I don't understand, other than I know that they went in the left ventricle and rooted around in there, saw some scar tissue, and they took care of that, and they lasered that out, and then they went over to the right ventricle, and what should have been only an hour and 45-minute surgery ended up being 6 hours. Successful surgery. And Brother John was there to be with the family and in comfort to them. And I say this not with any applause to me or, "Oh, what a godly man you are." But I was in here on my face, crying out for Faye's welfare, and praying for that surgery to go well. You see, in that first century church, the apostles had to be about the teaching of the Word of God. And they raised up others to take over the other issues that needed to be handled. Now, I'm not saying that we are a church of, 3,000 or 8,000 like that first church was. But every church has its needs. And it's overwhelming for just one person to take on. So thank you, my brother, for coming on board. And we've used you mightily. And God is using you. Thank you. Andrew Murray once said, "The man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history." 8 weeks ago, when we started this One Cry series for spiritual awakening and revival for America, there were a few people that said, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm following along the same lines with you. If we should be doing this right now, we haven't had a chance to really pray about this, and I just said, please trust me that this is what I'm feeling impressed by as a spiritual leader to move our church into. I got confirmation last Sunday night when we went to hear Bill Iliff, one of the co-authors of the book, was there, and he was speaking, and it wasn't necessarily his speech that helped confirm for me that what we are doing in the season that we are in as a church is the right season to be in. But what I found out is at the same time that we, as Mountain Valley Church of God, and we thought we were alone out there, didn't we? How many of you thought that had that thought, that you entertained that idea that, we're just out here doing this by ourselves? Well, guess what? I want to bring you some really good news today. The Southern Baptist Convention in our area is all going through the book, One Cry, right now. Think about that. We just went from one church feeling like, well, what? How much can we really do? There are other brothers and sisters in our own area going through the same book, giving out the same cry to God. We need a spiritual awakening. We need revival in our nation. And in fact, I got to interact with one of the pastors that hosted the event. And I told him, he asked me, he goes, "I don't recognize you as one of my Southern Baptist pastors." And I go, "Yeah, well, you're right, but we're in the same work, okay?" And I said, he says, "Are you in the One Cry deal?" I said, "Yes, we are." I said, "Where are you at?" And he goes, "Well," he says, "this Sunday is my last Sunday to preach in the One Cry." And I went, "Shut up! It's my last Sunday as well." I said, "So you and I have been marching along as spiritual leaders, prodding our people to prayer for our nation. And unknown to us, God has moved on our spirit to take our churches through this. How awesome. And though we are at the end of it, it's not the end. It's the beginning. It's the One Cry Highway." And that's the title of today's message. It's the One Cry Highway. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. Read this along with me if you would, please. "A voice is calling, 'Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" Has your voice been heard in these past 8 weeks? Have you joined together with others to cry out to God? And I know that many of you in this room have done just exactly that. You've been meeting together in small groups for 8 weeks. And I pray that being together in those groups has spawned a new desire within your heart to be with others, to study the Word together, and to pray for our nation. Folks, there is more and more media coming out against Christians today. We have a lady who made a stand that said, I will not issue wedding certificates or marriage certificates to same-sex couples. In her religious convictions, she could not do that, even though her job demanded that that's the job that she perform. She chose to serve God, not to fear men. You know, don't fear men who can kill your body and then do nothing, but fear him who has the power to where after your body is killed, to throw you into hell. That lady stood up for the truth of what she knew. She says, I'm not going to do this. This is an abomination unto God. And in fact, there are emails that I am sent by insurance companies and those supposedly in the know, and they say, Pastor, be very careful about the things that you say. You know what? My God is bigger than any man that comes up against us. And I will preach the truth that God has ordained marriage between one man and one woman. Anything else is an abomination. I will stand with that lady in proclaiming the same truth. Okay? Now, we have others that are facing persecution in our news. We have a football coach. He's an assistant coach. He's not even the head coach. He's an assistant coach. And he has been using his First Amendment rights to go down after the game is completed. He does not ask anyone else to go down with him, but he goes down and he walks out on the 50-yard line and he prays, he falls down on his knees, and he cries out to God, thanking him that there weren't any injuries and thanking them for the opportunity that they had on that field. Well, others have seen what he's been doing. And others, by their own choice, have gone down and met with him, and they've formed a prayer circle. Well, the school came out, pressured by those outside, much wiser. Oh, that is not a separation of church and state. Excuse me? No, it's our First Amendment rights as citizens of America to be able to gather anywhere and pray. And that's all this man was doing. He's not soliciting any of the players or students or parents. And so the school came out and said, if you do not stop doing this, you might be in jeopardy of your job. Do you think it stopped him? Absolutely not. As he walked out onto that field after having that said to him, he walked out on the next game to the 50-yard line, dropped to his knees as he had every other game before that. And he started to pray. You know what the reaction was? The people of the stands from both teams. And a prayer meeting was heard. This Friday night, a high school football player down in our valley made a touchdown in his victory. You know, he'd gotten knocked down on the ground. He got back up, and all he did was go. And then he ran to his brother who plays on the same team. He has now been called out for and punished for excessive celebration. Excessive celebration. And according to the scholastic rules, he is banned from the playoffs. People as I read this morning in the prayer time, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of this dark world. But the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world either. But they have the power to come against everything that is against the knowledge of God and to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Warriors, stand up and fight for our nation. Don't quit. Keep fighting for our nation, because though we seem like a very small germ in a mass epidemic in this nation, greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. Right? So keep it going. Get that voice calling. Clear the way for the Lord. Come on, Lord. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down upon this land. So your first fill-in is this. One cry is a united plea from God's people to prepare a sure foundation. A sure foundation in our hearts, homes, and communities through the power of the Holy Spirit. When I spent a little time on the town council, I got to know Norm Davis. Norm Davis is in charge of how we build our roads here in Prescott Valley. Wonderful man. Has about, I think, 5 children. Very prolific in that way. And I've asked him if he's having any more, and he says, no, we're done. He says, I've got enough insanity, you know, going on. But as we would talk about how to build roads, Norm is very strong in knowing how to build a road that will sustain all the traffic and the weather that we have in our area. And as you can see, part of that process happening on Windsong right now between Lakeshore and Florentine. They're widening that road, and they're finally putting in a sidewalk for people that have been going along on that road, on the rocks. I mean, I've seen people with the motorized wheelchairs and walkers and things trying to go down this pebble path, and I've asked for years when I was on the town council, could we please put a sidewalk in there, if nothing else? And so now we finally, the town got a grant, and we're putting in a whole road and a sidewalk, you know, in that area so that people can get to the stores that are in that area without being endangered. Sidewalks, they are not aplenty in Prescott Valley, right? You know, but so Norm and I were talking about the fact that what you've got to do, number one, you've got to scrape away the ground, and you got to get down to a solid layer. And sometimes out here, that's usually 8 to 10 inches of caliche that they've got to remove away. You know, just mud stuff that, you know, when it rains, man, it just gets slippery as snot, right? And you got ew. Why did I say that? They got to remove that stuff, though, and then as they grade it out and they get it all ready, they've got to do all the other great word that my wife learned to hate, infrastructure, in, you know, all the plumbing, all the sewer stuff and things for future development, so they've got to keep all those things intact. And then they bring in what they've now done is a solid layer of gravel and sand mixture that just really compacts really well. And they take these big heavy rollers and they compact that down so that there's a great foundation there. Well, our foundation is Jesus Christ. And that's a foundation that will prepare not only our hearts, but our homes and our communities. And his strength is given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that lays a sure foundation for the Lord to do his work. It's brought about by our prayers. Lord, we're calling out for our nation to have a spiritual renewal, to have revival. It's the prayers of his saints You know, do we just throw up our hands and just go, oh man, it's just too much. It's just not going to happen. You know, oh Lord, just come save me. No, we have a burden for our world. We have a burden for our community. We have a burden for our nation. And to know that that burden is not just ours, but just like someone who might start a project and not have the energy or the wisdom to finish it, we have just learned that there are others in our area that have joined into the same work. And so let's together build a foundation for the Lord to come and begin spiritual renewal right here in Prescott Valley and the area. Not just Prescott Valley, Lord. We want all this mountain to be taken for your glory, right? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." I'm looking forward to, and I haven't gotten this lined out yet, but we are going to get together a prayer time with those other churches and cry out to our Lord for spiritual renewal and revival to happen. Would you like that? Wouldn't that be an exciting thing to do? You know, that we just break down the walls of religiosity and we just come together with one heart and with one mind and one voice, cry out to God to bring a spiritual renewal to our area. And for the power of His Holy Spirit to just fall down in the hearts and the minds of the people here and have a transformation of our area. Let it begin here and spread throughout the nation, although there are many fires going on throughout the nation as well. There's almost 30,000 other people in America right now praying for this very same thing. The goal of one cry is to get 50,000 people. Let's blow that out of the waters. But how do we do it? Well, revival, spiritual renewal starts here. It starts right here first. When I'm renewed in my mind that I am going to do this work for God. Because I don't get a lot of benefit out of it other than seeing, you know what? Whoa, I just heard there are others doing the same thing. Wow. Is God silent when two or three call out for something to be done according to His will on earth? Or does God hear that cry and move? That one. So your second and last fill-in. A highway for God is laid through personal efforts to pray, share, and lead a movement of revival. A movement of revival. You see, just like these men are going out there and doing this work on Windsong, it's not taking just one man, but it takes every man on that work site to come and do the job that they're supposed to do to finish the project, right? So everybody's got to show up and everybody's got to do their part for the work to be done. And when we work together for one united effort, guess what happens? The work gets completed, right? So a highway for God is laid through our own personal efforts. Will you pray? Will you share about this? Will you lead a movement of revival? Will you get together with your neighbors or with others and just draw them in and say, you know what? I am praying for a spiritual revival to happen in our community. Will you pray with me to do that? Let's not care about what churches we go to. This isn't about filling up this church. This is about filling up God's kingdom. Right? This isn't about bragging rights about who's got the biggest church in town. This is about doing the work of the Lord and finding lost souls out there to be given witness to of the glory of God and His power. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 to 9. Here's a warning, but here's also an encouragement. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And then Jesus spoke these words out of Luke chapter 10, verse 2. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Loving Heavenly Father, that's exactly what we are going to pray for right now. Lord, we know that the harvest is great. Why? Because we know that there's many lost people right here in our own community, in our own neighborhoods, in our state, in our nation. And Lord God, we are few. We'll admit that. We are few. But with you, we are the majority. And Father, would you please raise up the workers? Though we look and we see, well, we don't have a whole lot of hands. Lord, would you raise up the workers for the harvest that you have planned for Prescott Valley, Prescott, Chino Valley, Humboldt, Mayer, all the towns up here in this area. Lord, let spiritual renewal come. Holy Spirit, reign down upon this area. We're calling for it. We're crying out. We want to see a movement of your Holy Spirit upon this land, that lost souls will be reclaimed for your kingdom, that those who have doubted will have a surety of their knowledge of you. Oh, Lord God, please, we plead with you. Give us the strength to do our part, Lord, to pray, to share, and to lead others through the power of your Spirit. Let it happen in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said, amen.